My friends, in Jesus' grace and mercy and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What a surprise for those two disciples along the road to Emmaus as they were discussing the events of that day and of that weekend, and Jesus came alongside them. And we read these words. That day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near them and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And then they reviewed with him all of the events of the Friday, the Saturday, and then that Sunday morning. And then Jesus says to them in verse 25, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is God's word. Please be seated. Listen for a moment to how an author by the name of Alfred Edersheim writes about these two disciples as they were getting out of Dodge, if you will. They just wanted to get out of Jerusalem on that spring Sunday after Jesus, their master, had been so brutally crucified and then buried. They were making their way out of town, on their way to Emmaus. And it's interesting how this author depicts it. He writes it this way. "We leave the city by the western gate. A rapid progress for about 25 minutes and we have reached the edge of the plateau, that blood-stained city, and the cloud and gloom-capped gathering place of the followers of Jesus are behind us. And with every step forward and upward, the air seems fresher and freer, as if we felt it in the scent of the mountain or even the far-off breezes of the sea." You know, if you ever felt like you just needed to get away and to put some physical distance between you and your problems, you have a very good idea of how these disciples were feeling. They just needed to escape, to get away. But why? They were going their way because they could not see God's way, as it turns out. They forgot that God always knows what he's doing. That he is always firmly in charge. And he always knows the way to redeem us and to use us. But these two disciples had lost sight of that. They had witnessed the brutal execution of their Lord 3 days earlier. They didn't know what to think. They didn't know what was true anymore and what was not. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to do. Life had just been put into a tailspin. And they had also heard that morning that the tomb had been found empty. And some of the men had gone out to confirm it, but they couldn't make sense out of it. Rumors even that he had risen. But that seemed so ludicrous that they just dismissed that out of hand. And by that Sunday afternoon, they had made their decision to cut their losses and just to walk away from all of it. It turns out they had misplaced their hope in Jesus. "We had hoped that he would be the one," they said. "We had hoped he would be the one." In Jerusalem that day, God was doing amazing things and opening up to the world his way of saving us. But these two disciples had decided to walk away, to go their own way to Emmaus. And you got to love these Emmaus disciples because they are us who are so easily overwhelmed by the negatives of life, who cannot believe that God could possibly bring good things for us out of the dark days of our lives, and who lose sight of where God is taking us and the ways that He works in our lives, even in the darkest of moments. So we dwell on some unkind thing that someone did or said, and we feel hurt. TV commercials constantly make us aware of what we don't have in this world. We are surrounded by people in our homes, you know, even in our families, all kinds of people with all kinds of faults, and we're getting tired of dealing with them, and we just want to get out of Dodge for a while. We focus on the negatives of church life. Constant financial struggle. We're not big enough. We're not in good enough of a location to do much as a congregation. There's conflict between some members that we ought to know better. And we just want to go somewhere, anywhere, just to catch a breath of fresh air. A relationship tanks because we messed up, or maybe because we've been misunderstood, or our money runs short and the bills are mounting up, or a tragedy or a diagnosis alters the course of our lives, and we just want to get away, walk away, find an Emmaus somewhere far removed from our troubles. You know, remember those old Calgon commercials? Anyone, if you're old enough to remember those Calgon commercials, remember the lady is stressed out by the pace of life and the noise and the trouble, and she lifts up her eyes to the heavens and she says, not God, she says, Calgon, take me away. And then they show her in this luxurious bubble bath, just soaking away all of her troubles and her trials. Well, it's kind of interesting, would you know, that the name of Emmaus, the town to which these disciples were going, means warm bath or a warm spring, because there may have been some warm thermal springs in those waters that people considered healthful if you would bathe in them. So as when you think about that, the name of Emmaus, this text almost begins to take on the feel of one of those old Calgon commercials. After all of the stresses and the sorrows and the disappointments that these disciples had felt 2 days earlier on Good Friday, it was just as if they threw up their hands to the heavens and they said, Emmaus, take me away. You know the feeling, don't you? I just want to get away. If you're feeling like that about any aspect of your life, listen to Jesus. He says, O foolish ones, so slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? And then He explains the Old Testament scriptures to these disciples, which record the way that God dealt with His wayward people back in the Old Testament, how He had to deal with Israel to bring them back to Himself. But to accomplish that, He had to deal with them often in ways that were very painful and tragic for them. And then He shows these disciples the whole Bible and how it all points to the death and the resurrection of the Christ as God's way of redeeming and saving us. The suffering and the death of the Christ were not the defeat of the Christ. They were the glory of the Christ. Jesus' death was God's way, the only way to cleanse us of our sins and to clear the way for us to go to that ultimate getaway of God's glorious kingdom, to take us out of this valley of sorrows one day to Himself. God used the death of His Son and what seemed like this huge setback to these disciples was really God's plan to redeem them. And He's guiding your way too. Don't forget that. He's guiding your way in His way. Yes, under His grace, you as the people of God, you're going to have your ups and your downs. But hear this. Under the grace of God, you will never have a setback. Never have a setback. Because God is constantly moving you, even through all the dark days of your life, He's constantly moving you to the goal, the prize. Life with Him is like a roller coaster, perhaps. You're up, you're down, but you're always moving forward. You're always on track to your destination under the mercy of God. The up times of life we receive as God's gifts, and we enjoy the view from there when we're up there. But when we're in the down times of life, we persevere, knowing that God has not lost the way for us, but He is strengthening us, and He is refining us, and He is shaping us for His service and His glory. And there is no reason for us to panic. There is no reason for us to walk away. God, Christ, is walking with you. Let God show you His way to the future by His holy word. By that same word, Christ opened up the eyes of these disciples, and God's way became clear to them. They began to see it now, God's way. And then they recognized their Lord and Savior, as we read. They rose up the same hour, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." As you know by now, this past week we received a vicar. I remember when I was in that position, how exciting it was right before the service as we were getting ready to process into the chapel, knowing that within an hour or so we would know where we were going to go on our vicarage. And all the wives and the families are sitting out there in the pews, and they're on pins and needles. And finally they call the husband's name, you know, Reed Schoaf, St. John Lutheran Church, Napoleon, Ohio. And everybody whips out their smartphones. Where on earth is Napoleon, Ohio? What's that town all about? In my day, we had to whip out paper maps. And they you know, want to find out everything they can about Napoleon, Ohio. We're going to Napoleon. I have no idea where it is. I'm not sure what all is going to happen between now and then. But I know where we're going now. God tells us where we're going because of Christ's death and resurrection. We know that. But exactly the way He's going to get us there isn't always clear to us, and sometimes it's a little scary. But then we remember Good Friday and then Easter, and the way in which God redeemed us, and the path that His Son had to take, that necessarily took to accomplish our redemption and salvation. And when we think about that, we can start to see things God's way again. As long as we know where we're going, the way that He gets us there, even through pains and sorrows, it's tough, but it's okay. Because Jesus went that way before us, and He's walking with us too. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.